I'd ask you to please turn with me this morning to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 2 and verse 14. The Gospel of Luke and chapter 2 and verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, the subject before us this morning is knowing God through the incarnation. We have already noted on this theme of studies God's mercy, God's grace, and God's truth. All these wonderful doctrines we can see through the incarnation. We can know God. We can know his purposes, his character, the wonder of his being and the wonder of his works in so many ways through the incarnation. And this morning we are taught in this verse before us that God's goodwill is revealed through the incarnation, his peace and his goodwill. And I particularly feel led this morning to focus upon the goodwill of God. Oh, God has brought peace to this earth spiritually through the Prince of Peace. That's a wonderful truth. But I specifically this morning want to center upon this issue of God's goodwill. Now, Christian faith lays hold of God's goodwill to sinners, being assured that it does come to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And knowing God through the incarnation will have the fruit of being assured this morning in your soul of God's goodwill towards you in Christ Jesus. Now, the goodwill of God in Christ Jesus to sinners who need God's grace has a number of facets to assure the believer. And I want to use at the beginning part of this message the scripture to demonstrate this wonderful fact to you. The goodwill of God through Jesus Christ is perfect. That's the first thing to rest in this morning. There is absolutely no bad will of God toward his people. Absolutely everything that God allows in your life is summed up by God's goodwill. The times of prosperity, the times of adversity, the times of health, the times of sickness, the times of joy, the times of sadness, they all are encompassed for the Lord's people in the net of God's goodwill. Now, Satan will try and tempt you this morning that when you're in difficult times, that God has some bad will towards you. That in some way this proves to you that there is an aspect of God's character which can react in some type of judgmental way, in a cross and angry way towards you. But this is not the case with the Lord's people. As the Lord views his people through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he permits certain things in our life, they all have the purpose of God's goodwill. And the psalmist said in Psalm 18:30, you might just want to make a note of these references. We won't go, I won't spend the time to look them up, but I read them to you. Make a note of Psalm 18, verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect, and he is a shield to those who trust in him. Dear friend, if you by faith accept this fact, that as for God his way is perfect, then that very fact that you lay hold on by faith will actually become your shield and defense against Satan's attack. The very will of God, the very perfect will of God, which seems sometimes to go against you, is actually the very shield to those who trust in him. He is a shield. God is a shield. The God that's permitted these things in your life is actually a shield to those who trust in Him. The goodwill of God through Jesus Christ is perfect. But then the goodwill of God through Jesus Christ is wise. We read that Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And as we walk with Jesus, as we trust in Jesus, as we follow Jesus, we are entering in to the blessing of the goodwill of God that comes to us in and through the person and ministry and intercession saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The goodwill of God through Jesus Christ is wise. He is the one in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. But then the goodwill of God through Jesus Christ is unchangeable. He determines from eternity to save all those who call upon Him, all those who are ordained unto eternal life. The Lord God, the goodwill of God, determines, and that is unchangeable. This is the promise that Jesus Christ gave to the woman of Samaria. This is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. This is the will of God, the will of the Father who sent me, that all of He has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. The goodwill of God through Jesus Christ is a giving goodwill. It's not only unchangeable, it's a giving goodwill. We read, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present age according to the will of God our Father. It's a giving goodwill. A goodwill not only of which is perfect, which is wise, which is unchangeable. It is a goodwill which gives. Do you not know that God is constantly giving? The incarnation, of course, is the example, the evidence of the greatest gift this world has ever known. But God is constantly giving out of Himself to His people. We're constantly receiving from God. Day by day, hour by hour, we live in His mercy. We live in His grace. We live in His sustaining mercies toward us. We are constantly receiving from God because of His goodwill. He gives Himself for our sins in the person of Jesus Christ. But then there's another aspect of God's goodwill by way of introduction. The goodwill of God this morning, as we consider it, calls us to holiness. Calls us to holiness. This is our response this morning. How do we respond to the goodwill of God? Well, we thank God for it. We praise God for it. But there's more to it than that. God calls us to respond in our lives as His people. And this is what He tells us. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As we are transformed by the renewing of our mind, looking unto Jesus, we come to understand in a better way, in a deeper way, what is that good will of God? What is that acceptable will of God? What is that perfect will of God? And Satan tempts us to be out of sorts with God, and he tempts us to drift further and further and further into the world when things are not going right in our life. And the danger of that is that it actually makes us more and more confused and even bitter, because we are drawing away from God. And we're becoming more and more secular and humanistic in our thinking. And we need transformation in our mind. We need to come with humility before God, with that contrite spirit that I read you about in Isaiah, and humble ourselves before the living God and say, Lord, start afresh in my life. Begin again, Lord, as it were. Come a second time, Lord, and renew my mind, that I might prove the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then the Apostle Paul says later on in Ephesians 5:7 that we are to not be unwise, but to understand what the will of the Lord is. And we pray your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So a person then this morning, this is my first point, the person who is truly trusting in Jesus Christ, who is the person of God's goodwill, can be assured this morning that all God's dealings towards you, all God's dealings come under the banner of God's goodwill to you in Jesus Christ. And it is in this context, with really trying to support this text with these truths that I've sought to bring before you, that we read this wonderful text, all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And a word of advice, friends, really, because when people are in trouble, it's sometimes a proneness of Christians to rattle off texts here, there and everywhere. And we feel better ourselves when we send off a text of scripture somewhere to this. It can be very good if we send it off with prayer and with thoughtfulness and with real sincerity. But if we're just sending a text off to make us feel better and think, oh, we've done our duty now, and that actually that can put a tremendous pressure upon a person, because actually they may not be feeling in that sort of spirit of faith at the time. And the more these texts come in with different verses, it actually increases that sense of guilt and that sense of pressure. So we need great wisdom. So only send a text of scripture if you really mean it. If you've prayed about it, if you've thought about it, and you're prepared to carry on praying that text of scripture for that person. Don't just play with God's word as though it's like a chocolate box of sweets. God's word is holy. And so this particular text, all things work together for good, is run out so many times. And we need to have wisdom that we do so with love and care and understanding. All things do work together for good to those that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. But it's good for us to remind ourselves of the theology behind these amazing truths. Well, central to this assurance of God's goodwill is the person of Jesus Christ, who has come to this world. So we see, particularly in his incarnation, in his birth, in his life and death and resurrection, the goodwill of God to this world in Jesus Christ. Well, the incarnation then is God's great evidence of his goodwill. This together, actually, with the sending of his Holy Spirit, that actually is also often forgotten about, but the sending of the Holy Spirit as a sign of God's goodwill to this world. Quite rightly we remember the incarnation, but we should never forget the sending of the Holy Spirit. And then there's a third thing that God has sent, that is his word. God has sent one person, two persons, and his word. Of course, Jesus is the Word made flesh and dwelt among us, but he sent the person, the Lord Jesus Christ, of the Holy Spirit, and the inspired Word of God. These three evidences, Christ, his Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Word of God, combine to provide the assurance this morning that God only has goodwill towards his people. In fact, even God's justice, even God's will in justice to the unbeliever, ultimately is good inasmuch as it is just and holy and true. Do you not know that there will not be one person in hell who will say that God has been unjust? Everyone who goes into a lost eternity through their rebellion will acknowledge that actually God is just. It will be that realization the awesomeness of that realization that God was God after all, that God is God and Jesus is the only Savior. And if only I had listened, if only I had repented, if only I had followed the gospel, that will be part of the misery in hell. The sense of regret. God's justice, even his justice, is holy. Well, the first principle then to learn this morning for a believer is to be assured and rest in the goodwill of God. And the second part of the message this morning, I will speak in more detail about God's goodness through the incarnation of Jesus Christ, the gift of God's goodwill. You see, God's gift of his only beloved Son to this world as Saviour has been described in Scripture as being unspeakable, indescribable. So, however hard we try, however many sermons are preached, however many millions of people are proclaiming the Word of God this morning and lifting up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot truly, fully, completely describe the wonder of the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's beyond words. Its worth and effect are indescribable inasmuch as they are beyond words to describe. Words are limited. Christ is infinite. Well, we might say he's unspeakably great in what he achieves. The goodwill of God is unspeakably great in what it achieves. Jesus Christ has the power to deliver you from hell. And there's no greater power than the power to deliver a person from hell. God created the world perfect. That was almighty power. But to deliver a person from hell to heaven is even more glorious in power than creation itself. It's unspeakably great in its blessing because Jesus Christ gives eternal life. He says, I will give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Jesus, speaking to the woman of Samaria in John 4, says, Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. You see, what Jesus was saying there to this woman, he was emphasizing the gift. I will give him. I shall give him. And God's goodwill is a gift. Jesus Christ is the gift of God. It's a gift of God's goodwill. When I referred earlier in John 6 to the woman of Samaria, that was not a correct reference, but in John 4 it is. It is. And there we see the wonderful words of the Lord Jesus. The gift of God's goodwill. The grace of God's goodwill. The gift, the grace of God's goodwill. Well, God's grace is not only amazing, it's free. Most of you will know the story of C.S. Lewis, and he entered into a conference where they were having this heated debate about different religions, and they were trying to make the point, why is Christianity unique? And they've been struggling all day with this. And they've been arguing between themselves, people of different religions. And C.S. Lewis just walked in there and they said, oh, here comes this great man, this great mind. Wonder what he's going to say. There's going to be something deep and profound and lengthy. And he just stood up and said, that's easy. It's grace. It's grace. That's the uniqueness of Christianity. It's all of God's grace. All these other religions, it's what you do, what you have to do, how you can try and make yourself right with that God of your religion. But the real, true, and living, eternal God of the Bible He knows his people through grace. And it's a gift. It cannot be purchased. It cannot be earned. It cannot be demanded. Grace can only be received freely by faith as a gift from God. And when we unwrap the contents of this wonderful gift of salvation, we find within it such blessing. As we unwrap this present in our minds this morning, the present of God's grace, the grace of God's goodwill, it contains full forgiveness for our sins. Now I wonder this morning, you're thinking, children of tomorrow morning, perhaps your presents, or you're thinking perhaps what we might get. If someone was to say to you, well, actually, there is a most wonderful present. It is eternal. And this present, this gift, will forgive you of all your sins, the past, the present, and the future. It will deliver you from the power of Satan. It contains a passport from heaven and to heaven and eternal life. Will you receive that gift by faith this morning? Does it mean anything to you? Would you say, well, actually, of everything in my life, that is the thing I need most of all. That is the thing I desire most of all. To know I'm one with Jesus. To know God through the incarnation. To know that I am right with God through the incarnation of Jesus Christ. To know that I am right with God. To know the grace of God. And the Word of God says this is a free gift. It's readily available. All those that call upon His name, whoever calls upon His name, whoever this morning, whatever you've done in your life, whatever your situation, whoever can receive the gift of all gifts. The Word of God says, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? That's the wonder of redemption. That's the wonder of grace. Our Heavenly Father, who did not spare His only Son, His own beloved Son, but He delivered Him up for us all. He sent Him to this world for us all. Can we not doubt? Can we doubt that the Father will not give us all things freely in Him? The wonder of God's grace in Jesus Christ, His goodwill, is captured so much in the writing and ministry of the apostles. We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption in Christ Jesus. The grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounds to many. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might become rich. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Oh, God's grace, His goodwill, is demonstrated so often in Scripture in people. Think of Jacob. As we come towards conclusion this morning, think of Jacob. Was Jacob a nice man? Was Jacob a nice man to do business with? He wasn't. Actually, Jacob was a deceiver. By nature, Jacob was one of those sorts of people that caused divisions, was deceptive. He was by nature not a very nice brother to have, actually. That's what we're told in Scripture. He was a deceiver. When he ran away from home, God met him where he was. Jacob the deceiver received the grace of God. All right, let's mention another one in Scripture. You see, the Scripture tells us of salvation coming to not good people, not people who had earned it, not people who were self-righteous. Actually, God reveals to us in Scripture that grace comes to sinners who know their need of Jesus. So, what about Rahab? Was Rahab a nice person? She was a harlot. She was known in town for being a harlot. She wasn't a nice woman by society's standards. According to the law of God, she'd fallen awesomely. But Rahab was saved. Rahab the harlot believed in God, and she was saved. What about Ruth? Ruth was a Moabitess, and she was a foreigner. And she was amazed at the grace of God to her, the God's goodwill to her, in the testimony of Boaz. And why have you shown such favor to me? What about David? Was David a very nice person? Well, there were times when David was a very nice person, but David had a side to his character that was cruel. David had a side to his character that was very selfish, very lustful. He was actually a murderer. He murdered a man that he might have his wife. He was an adulterer and a murderer. He was backslidden. And yet God had mercy on David. God delivered David. He brought him back. He had grace to David. He had goodwill to David. And what about Mephibosheth? He was one of society's castaways. He was very crippled. And everybody despised this man. But David showed great kindness to this man. And it was a picture of the grace of God. And then there was a woman washing Jesus' feet. Well, was she a very holy woman at the time before she was saved? No. Was she a good person? No. And they couldn't make it out when they saw this woman washing Jesus' feet, that this loose woman, this woman that was a sinner, washing Jesus' feet. Well, the Lord Jesus understood the wonder of grace and in that woman, how she was so thankful for grace in her life, and it made her weep. What about Paul the persecutor? Again, we see the wonders of God's grace in Paul the persecutor, and Paul brings this point out. He says in his first letter to Timothy this very thing. He said, "For this reason I obtained mercy, that in me Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever." Paul the persecutor, Paul the man who sent men and women before his conversion to their death, to prison. This is the grace of God's goodwill. So be encouraged this morning. With all your thoughts, with all your burden, whatever situation you're in this morning, just come. Just come as you are. And finally this morning, the glory of God's everlasting goodwill. The glory. The glory of God's goodwill. See, when we're considering the gift of God's grace to this world in the life of Jesus Christ, we are contemplating a gift that lasts forever. Hair presents get used up. They get worn out. They get out of date. They get broken, they are no longer required. The gift of everlasting life in Jesus Christ remains. In an ever-changing world, we still have this everlasting gift of God's goodwill. In a world of evil will, in a world which is rejecting God, in a world which is coming increasingly hostile to the Christian church, God's goodwill remains to the Lord's people. Nothing can change God's goodwill to his church. And even though we are entering into a deeper time of persecution, be assured of this. This is one thing you have. You have the frown of men, but you have the smile of God. This is the relevant, true, secure, stable and unchanging message to this needy world. He who believes in the Son has the witness in himself that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Now, a person may have goodwill for a time. I was reading an article in the news yesterday about how there is a research about how on Christmas Day there's a lot of goodwill in the morning, there's a lot of goodwill at lunchtime, but by tea time, the goodwill wears out. And there's arguments amongst families and people get tired. And then to alleviate the problem of the goodwill having drifted away, everybody gets into their cars on Boxing Day and goes off to the shops to have another fix of things. Now, that might sound negative, but it's actually quite real. So, what is a Christian's view at this point? It is a season of goodwill. We thank the Lord for it. Even creatively, even in families, to see it, it's very blessed. But we need to be sure of a goodwill that is unchangeable, that doesn't fluctuate. The good will of God in Jesus Christ remains consistent and true. Whatever God permits, whatever God ordains, is always motivated by his goodwill. I come to conclusion this morning by just sharing with you from Hebrews 12. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards, the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Oh, dear friends, remember this. Please remember this. There's an afterward with God. An afterward with God. A blessed afterward with God. It's always pure. It's always right. It's perfect. It's caught up in the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it, exercised by it. Now, it may well be in your life that you're in God's gymnasium at the moment. But God is exercising your soul. If I might say so, using a human illustration, when we go onto the treadmill or we go out for a walk first thing in the morning, it's a known fact that you can think better. Your blood is circulating more quickly around your body. You're more alert and it's healthy for you. And so God needs us spiritually to go into a gymnasium at times. We become lethargic. We become out of sorts. We become a bit sort of staid in our Christian life. So God will do something in his perfect will to exercise ourselves, to bring us to see the wonder of the incarnation, the wonder of the life of Jesus, the wonder of the death, the wonder of the resurrection, the great need to know God in our life. I just have this one illustration this morning. I really am concluding. I think I've said that three times, but I really am. When a business is valued, an element of goodwill is taken into account in terms of its value, its contribution. So if you've got a factory, a business that's been sold, and say, let's say it's a printing factory, you have all the equipment, the building, the equipment, and that's valued. How much is all that equipment worth? But there's more to it than that. It's not just the equipment. Actually, even more important than the equipment, which depreciates, is what is called the goodwill of the company. And the goodwill is the customer base of the business. So if you've got a business to sell and a buyer comes and looks at the customer list and they see these what we call blue chip companies that all pay on time, that are all secure in their payments, then that lifts the value of the business incredibly, because a person who's buying that business, they know that they've got an ongoing, worthwhile business, and that will bring in, if it's ran properly, constant revenue and a profit. But that goodwill hasn't come overnight. Those of us who have been in business know that it's come with pain. It's come with hard work. It's come with effort. It's come with going the extra mile many times for our customers to ensure them of our integrity and our reliability. And it's taken a lot to build up a company that has a lot of goodwill. But you know, that goodwill of a company, if it falls into the wrong hands, can be lost in a couple of years. I know this by personal experience when I sold my business within a couple of years, because the people were not caring. They were more interested in what they could get out than what they could put in, and with the customers, the goodwill just faded away. And if you don't respect the goodwill, you don't have a business. And that's what happened. But the goodwill of Jesus Christ, the goodwill of God in Jesus Christ towards needy sinners, it's unchangeable. It's proven by the great cost of giving his only beloved Son. Jesus is the voice of God's will this morning, God's goodwill this morning. And God's goodwill in Jesus Christ has eternal value for you. It takes you from time into eternity. It's unchangeable. Do you realize the value this morning of Jesus Christ? Do you respect God's goodwill? What more could God have done in his goodwill to needy sinners than to give his only beloved Son? Well, a family hit on hard times. The father and the mother were both made redundant, and their house was to be repossessed. And they were clearing out the basement, and they came across a large box containing over 100 first edition Enid Blyton books. And this had been given to the father by his grandfather, and he'd just forgotten about it. He didn't want to read children's books, so he just threw it into the basement in a box. And somebody said to him, "Do you not realize that those books have got an incredible value? They're first editions. They're untouched. They're unmarked. They've got a huge value." So he took it to the auction man and got some advice, and they came up with a figure of £250,000 for these books. So he sold the books, paid off his mortgage, and kept the house. The answer to their problem was in their basement, untouched. Maybe the Lord Jesus is in the basement of your mind this morning. You know about him. You knew that you've tucked him away at the bottom of your mind, in the basement of your mind. But you're not, as it were, valuing Jesus. You're not appreciating Jesus. You don't see the value of him, really. Don't let it be like that. Realize that the Lord Jesus Christ is of eternal value. And he is the greatest gift this world has ever known. And he is the greatest gift to you this morning. And those of you who have not yet received Jesus Christ into your hearts, may the Lord give you faith to receive him now, even today, and it will be the best Christmas you've ever had in your life. Amen.